Radio 2's Children in Need Comedy Spectacular! Wow! Huh? Yeah. Wow, thank you. And welcome to Broadcasting House, the radio theatre, for this comedy gala. This comedy gala. We have an extraordinary night ahead of us. We have many, many comedians, and we have many, many musicians on stage. My name is Alex Horn, but there are also five other members of the Horn section here tonight. I'm going to introduce you to them by creating a theme tune using audience suggestions. So get ready and welcome on drums, Mr. Ben Reynolds. There he is. Wow. Yeah. Hunky. Very hunky. Very strong. Very strong. Mentally strong. Never wept. Never cried. Never been sad. So what rhythm would you like the drummer to play in? Any rhythm at all for the drummer? Shout out a rhythm. Salsa or bossa nova? How strongly are you requesting this salsa? Just a little bit? Bossa nova? Cry stronger. We'll go with bossa nova, please. There we go. Are you feeling that, theatre? Is that all right? Bear in mind, this is going to go on throughout the show, so... Salsa lady, are you regretting your lack of conviction? It's all right, isn't it? I mean, it's not my cup of tea, but it'll do. There he is. OK, on bass is Mr. Will Collier! Wow! He's all right. Never been on a boat. Never been on a boat. Doesn't trust them. Doesn't think they should float. So, what key would you like the sort of generally scared bassist to play in? Any key at all?
A.
A? Why not? Was that A or E? He's already launched into A, I think.
Is that A?
Yeah, we're stuck with A. I mean, this may or may not be A, obviously. We have no idea. But let's assume it's... Is it A? Definitely? Yeah. And would you like... This isn't much good for the radio listeners, but would you like a facial expression with that? You can do any of them. Any facial expression?
A girl.
A girl, why not? Do a facial expression of a girl, Will. Perfect. And just to describe what the man did there, he did a very pretty face. Wonderful. On keys is Mr. Joe Stilgo! Uh-oh. Saluting. He can play any tune... At any time. So I'm going to ask you to name a tune. If you could pick a BBC theme tune, it will save a lot of problems when we try to clear the show. So, name a BBC theme tune. We've got Blue Peter, we've got Dad's Army, and we've got the Antiques Roadshow. Take your pick. Try not to shake your head quite so much. But we don't recognise it yet, but in a minute. Dad's Army.
Good.
And seamlessly, he moves into Blue Peter. They're not impressed yet, but you never know. Very good. Let's get the saxophone involved. Do you want to join in, Mark, on Blue Peter? Why not? It's Mark Brown on saxophone. Oh, oh, lovely. That's lovely. Sort of sexy Dad's Army now. Whoa. A bit more sexy, more sexy. Oh, yeah. Maybe wink at the audience. Lovely wink. And it's Joe Orkin on trumpet. Here he comes. Oh, and that's lovely. Beautiful stuff. And now, and just stop. And stop. And stop. And stop. Stop. There we go. The band. The very talented band. Wonderful. Very talented. Very talented. Grade four. Grade four this summer. Not bad, is it? Theory. Not bad, is it? Not bad. And I'm, in case you're wondering, I'm kind of the conductor figure. I will control the band and instruct them when to play, when not to play. You may have seen me in that last one shouting the word stop several times at the end of the... That's what conductors tend to do. It's kind of a code word. Otherwise, I don't know when to stop, so I tend to shout, stop. So, we've met the band, and the way the show's going to work, we're hoping that the comedy will enhance the music and vice versa. That's the theory. A bit like it's nice to travel by train, isn't it? It's nice to travel by train. It's quite nice, isn't it? It's nice to drink wine. But I think the best way to experience both these things is to drink two or three boxes of wine on a train journey from Norwich to Exeter. That's kind of what this show's going to be like. It's going to be long. So... It's going to be fine. But before we kick it off, we're going to play a game. We thought, why not warm up ourselves and you and the listeners with a little game. We've chosen a board game. It's my favourite board game. We have a theme tune. The board game is Battleships!
battleships sing the blues.
Battleships, battleships,
put out of the water.
Battleships, battleships.
It's a really good
battleships,
game.
Battleships,
ah!
Battleships, it's battleships.
And the rules of battleships are very similar to the... The rules of battleships are very similar to the rules that we're going to play tonight. We're going to split you into sort of two halves of an ocean. We'll have, I think let's have team one over here and team A. Just make it clear, team A over here. And we need two captains to captain the two oceans. So let's pick, what would anyone like to be captain, first of all, on team one? Would anyone like to be captain? Straight away, a volunteer. What's your name, madam?
Sue.
Please welcome Sue to the front of the stage. Here she comes.
What are we going to do if we don't have Sue?
Here's Sue. Nice to meet you,
Sue.
They're good pockets, aren't they? No, they're fine. I think if you've got pockets, put your hands in. I agree with that, and I'm gonna follow suit. So,
so men normally have their hands in their pockets down below.
Yeah, they do.
Mine are on the front, aren't they?
They are on the front.
So
yeah,
I'm not sort of jangling with
anything. No, they're not jangling. No. So we've met Sue. A little brief pocket chat with Sue, and it was quite nice. And, would anyone like to be captain of Team A, bearing in mind there may be a pocket chat? Would anyone like to be captain of Team A to face off against Mighty Sue? Yeah! Oh, a slightly weirder introduction, but I was going to ask your name and sort of try to engender some sort of applause, but you've already on the stage. What's your name? Gwyn?
Ren, like Ren and Stimpy.
Ren, like Ren and Stimpy. Please welcome Ren, like Ren and Stimpy. We're now ready to start playing battleships. Now, we're not going to ask you to hunt out opposition ships, because it's very unlikely people have brought ships. So instead, I'm going to give you categories of people that I'm going to ask you to find within the opposition ocean. Okay, that's how it's going to work. So I've got you a... this is called a torch. Have you seen them before? Let's start with Sue. Why not? Let's start with Sue. And I'm going to ask you to search out within Team A somebody, a person who has... Use your torch. Find somebody who has a boring job, Sue. So just have a look out. Try to sense the disappointment in their faces. You might be able to sort of smell the weariness. You've gone straight for that, gentleman. There was no hesitation. Why not? No, I thought when he came in, I thought, I bet he has a boring job. I thought that. So, sir, what's your name?
Tom.
Tom. And Tom, what do you do for a living?
I'm a sustainability consultant.
He's a sustainability consultant!
Battleships, battleships.
Sustainability.
You're a natural, sir. You just sniffed out the one job title that really sums up the concept of boring job. A sustainability consultant. When people are wondering about sustainability, who do they consult? It's Tom. So, 1-0. Ren's turn with a torch. If we can have that. Whatever that music was, it was wonderful. I like that.
Thank you.
Lovely. I think that might be my favourite song now. Can I get that on iTunes? It's good.
After the show, yeah.
Okay. So, Ren, you've got to sort of seek out somebody... A grandmother. Okay, if you can search out to find a grandmother. So what that is, it's a woman who's given birth and then that offspring has also given birth. So sort of Russian dolls-wise, it'd be the third one in or out. With the torch. And it's unlikely you're going to do this without insulting someone. So just have a good look. Ren with a customary salute at this point. So here goes. Yeah, just have a good look out there. Sniffing out a gran.
The lady in front of the man with the yellow shirt.
There we go, now the people at home know exactly who you mean. Madam, if you look around, there's a person in the yellow shirt behind you. That's you. Are you a grandmother? She's not!
It's all
over!
Miss.
It's all over, we have a winner. The winner is the wonderful Sue. And your prize tonight, you'll be pleased with this. The prize is...
Bag of chips, bag of chips,
bag of chips,
bag of chips, bag of chips, bag of chips,
bag of chips,
bag of chips, bag of chips, bag of chips.
You won the prize.
Bag of chips, bag of chips.
Well, Sue, it's a bag of chips. You have won a bag of chips.
So there we are. Sue, the bag of chips there. And I think that means we're ready to kick off the show. The first guest, please welcome on Mr. Gareth Richards!
Hello. My name's Gareth. Say hello, Gareth.
Hello,
everybody. I've come from Bournemouth to be here today. or whatever. Bournemouth, the reputation that Bournemouth has is there's a lot of old people in Bournemouth, and that is absolutely true. It's a place where people go to die. It's a bit like Switzerland, but for people who aren't in a rush. And am I married? Give me a cheer if you're married. Give me a cheer if you're single. Happier. I've been married for 9 years, so I married quite young. People say to me, oh, married young, did you? Hey, was she pregnant? Hey, was she pregnant? I'm like, no. As it turned out. And I got together with my wife at uni. We got together right at the end of university. I'd been obsessed with this other girl all the way through university, you know, just really obsessed. She wasn't interested. You know, I even changed courses to be near her, which my parents weren't happy about. But I think we'll always need midwives. I was obsessed with this other girl. And then right at the end of university, I started going out with my wife. And within 3 weeks, I'd asked her to marry me. Because, you know, when you meet that one person you want to spend the rest of your life with, you'll do anything to make them jealous. And we live in a bungalow in Bournemouth. Anyone live in a bungalow? No, they're not. There's a lot of young people. You feel guilty if you're young and you live in a bungalow, because they're not for you. No, because I'm using up that bungalow somewhere. There's an old lady lying at the bottom of the stairs. It's all my fault. So I was going to do some songs. How do you feel about that? This, ladies and gentlemen, is the Omnicord. Omni means really, chord means brilliant. It can do everything that a band can do. There's no need for other musicians anymore. The Omnicord is a three-pronged attack on music. First thing it does is the beat. Hey? Now, this is a swing beat. There's no need for drummers anymore. This does exactly what a drum... I mean, can you do that? Can you do that? No need. No need. I mean, you can probably do some other things as well, but this... Showy. Hopefully showy that was, I think. The second thing it does is a chord sound. This is a G. It's a C. And can you do a G? I mean... It can also do that. That's a minute. But there's one more thing the Omnicord does. This metallic strip makes a harp sound. Are you ready for this? Hey? Can you do that? My friend Dave is a little bit square, just like a fridge. My friend Dave hasn't got any hair, just like a fridge. His light comes on when you open the door. You can only use Dave for what Dave is for. And Dave at a party is a bit of a bore. Just like a fridge. Just like a fridge. My friend Dave is cold inside, just like a fridge. But he's warm if you touch him on the back, just like a fridge. Dave's dad is called Eric and his mum is Joanne. Whilst travelling in East Asia, their romance began. And that's how come Dave was made in Japan. Just like a fridge. Just like a fridge. We thought that Dave would always be alone, just like a fridge. Cause Dave is not very good at talking to girls, just like a fridge. But then he found someone to call his own. We finally met her when he brought her home, but she couldn't quite fit into the living room, 'cause she was massive, just like a fridge. Just like a fridge. She was difficult to maneuver.
Just like a fridge.
Just like a fridge. Good night, thank you guys, Richard.
With the Omnichord. So we started. From now on, we're going to ask you to pick a genre of music for the jingle to be played in. So what genre of music would you like the next introduction to be played in? Anything at all?
Funk.
Why not? Let's start with funk. Well, did you say spy? You did say spy, didn't you? It turns out you said more of a job than a genre of music. But, we might do spy next time. Or maybe... either we'll do it or you'll think of a genre of music. But we'll come back to spy. We'll stick with funk for the first one. So the next act, a tremendous talent. Please welcome on the fabulous Angela Bond.
Hello, it's nice to be here. You look lovely, don't you? Yeah, I have to do a lot of student gigs. This is great. I know I'm getting older as well, because I have a friend who is the same age as me, went to school with me. She's just purchased a static caravan. Like, that is giving up on life, that, isn't it? That's, oh, I'm 35 now. I don't think I'll be needing to leave Kent again. It's fine. Static caravan. For a start, the word caravan comes from an Eastern word meaning desert traveller. There is travelling involved. Static caravan is an oxymoron. It's like fun run or police intelligence. Okay. Of all my friends having children, I'm single, I don't have any children. I've got lots of godchildren, I think they feel sorry for me. I've got so many godchildren that I'm starting to think I might actually be God. It's not bad, is it, for a committed atheist? You know, I'm quite open about the fact that I'm an atheist, and it's weird, they keep asking me to be a godparent. Like, I wouldn't ask a creationist to lead a fossil hunt. Well, I don't get it. I read the small print, right? Read the small print. Apparently, what it means to be a godparent is that if the parents die, I have to take care of the children's spiritual awareness, right? Now, unless that is teaching them how to mix a martini, they're buggered. I am a sickly person. I have this sort of collection of niggling ailments. You know, I'd quite like to consolidate them all, really, into one major disease. Yeah. Nothing life-threatening, just something that might get me a swim with dolphins or a Pride of Britain nomination. Be nice, wouldn't it? Nice. I've got rubbish things. I'll give you an example. I've got something called glue ear. Does anyone know what that is, glue ear? Yeah, it is rubbish. You're right to laugh. It necessitates the wearing of grommets. Did anyone have grommets in their ears when they were a child? I mean, child is the key word. It is a childhood complaint. I'm 35, I've got grommets, I might as well have sodding nappy rash. Really awkward. Even the word grommet is a cartoon character. You don't get that with adult procedures, do you? No, my grandmother, she's got a bilateral hip replacement. She hasn't got a double SpongeBob. Grommet. It's inconvenient as well, because I like to swim, right? I like swimming, but I can't get my ears wet, so I have to wear a swimming hat. Now, the more observant amongst you will notice, I have very red hair. So my mum has bought me a red swimming hat, saying, it'll look like your hair. Yeah, it doesn't, no. I just look like a Lego version of me. To add insult to injury, twice a year I have to attend something called the Glue Ear Clinic, which takes place at my local paediatric hospital. Pretty ironic, really. Here I am at a children in need benefit. I may actually benefit from this. It's humiliating, right? You have not known humiliation, so you've been a 35-year-old woman sitting on a plastic toadstool, flicking through old copies of Mr. Men comics, waiting for a nurse in a Peppa Pig tabard to call your name. Right, well, 10 sets of parents stare at you, wondering where the hell your child is. On the upside, though, I do have the world's largest collection of Brave Girl stickers, so... it's not all bad. It's not all bad. Another thing that happens because of my ear problems is my eardrums burst quite frequently. Has anyone had a burst eardrum? It's not nice, is it? It's bloody, it's pussy, it's messy, it's horrible, right? Happened to me last year during sex. Yeah, cheers, because that's the funny bit, yeah. Although it was quite entertaining to see the look on the gentleman in question's face as I saw him think to himself, oh my God, I think I've actually shagged her brains out. You guys got an awesome night ahead of you. I've been Angela. Enjoy the rest of the show. Cheers.
Angela Bond! I like that a lot. Enjoy that, sir. I'm going to come and talk to you. I just think you look terrific. What's your name?
Tim.
I like you because you've got a beard, haven't you, Tim? You've got a beard, I've got a beard, and that's enough to start a friendship, isn't it, Tim? That's enough. Can I have some getting to know you music, please, Joe? Just a bit of getting to know you music. Because we've got the beard in common. What else do we have in common, Tim? What else? What's the biggest... I've started with this. What's the biggest thing you've ever seen? Yeah, let's do that. What's the biggest thing you've ever seen, Tim? The Grand Canyon. No, what's the, like a living thing? What's the biggest living thing you've ever seen, Tim?
An elephant.
An elephant? No, like something you'd get in this country. Like, what's the biggest...
Red deer.
Red deer. No, like more like a farm animal. What's the biggest farm animal you've ever seen, Tim? What's the biggest farm animal?
A bull.
A bull. But a female version of that is... A cow. Me too. We've got a lot in common, haven't we, me and Tim? We've got a lot in common.
How do?
A lot in common. So, time for the next performer. Are we going to stick with Spy? Okay, so... Please welcome onto the stage the fabulous Doc Brown!
Doc Brown, Doc Brown, BBC Radio 2. It's the cheesiest welcome I've ever had on the stage. Thanks, lads. Evening all, I'll leave it at that, I think. Evening. My name is Doc. I'm gonna be doing some rap for you, a bit of rapping. I know that always excites Radio 2. I'm also gonna do a bunch of my greatest hit as well, so look out for that. But first, my life has always been quite hard. I used to put that down to being something of an unlucky person. But then I figured it out, right? Yeah. Or at least I thought I figured it out, right? Because when you're down and out and you're really up against it, just remember the basics. It's a mantra, repeatedly say this. You're not a loser, it's just everybody's racist. Yeah, that's right, I said it. Why do you think nobody ever gives you any credit? Why you last on the list of your doctor's patients? Chronological or is your surgery racist? What type of dog poos on the pavement in front of your house? Alsatian, racist. Say you're typing in a search engine, trying to write haters with a Z at the end, and your computer goes, did you mean haters? That's how you know Google's racist. How come every time an igloo's made, it's always white? Eskimo's racist. So now you know the truth at its plainest. Your car won't start, engine racist. Your team don't pick you, these guys racist. Jeans won't fit you, Levi's racist. If you're trying to do a diet every time you try it, I guarantee your diet is racist. On your birthday it rained in places. Screw the clouds, the whole sky is racist. You got an iPod, shuffling a playlist that ain't picked reggae in a while, racist. How come every time you get to the queue, you're the last in the queue, dude? That queue's racist. And then when you get to the front, the staff say, hey, thanks for waiting, that's racist. Cause the whole post office are skanks. Why do you think they try and sell you second class stamps? Two words, institutional racism. You go Nando's, suddenly they make chicken. And you might want couscous or just soup. Too late, man, they already judged you. When you're down and out and you're really up against it, just remember the basics. It's a mantra, repeatedly say this. You're not a loser, it's just everybody's racist. Yeah. All right. Start as we mean to go on. Bit of a dark start, in truth. But these are dark times, you know?
And to top it all off, you know, clocks have gone back. It's middle of winter now. Well, not middle, it's just start of winter, but depressing, man. You know, I already miss the summer. People are nicer to each other, aren't they? It's lovely. I actually genuinely believe people seem to me more beautiful in the sun as well, you know. I mean, sometimes I'll turn the corner on the street and just be like, damn, seen you from behind on the street, so fine. Picking up my pace so I stay close by. No glimpse of your face, but we ain't done. Got a whiff of your fragrance, CK1. Ponytail hangs to the small of your back, which is no small feat when you're tall like that. I'm hypnotized by your hips and thighs. I brush your hand and you turn around, you're a man. So embarrassing. So, yeah, I think I've got to go. But before I do, right, I've got to tell you this. You know, like, I've got kids of my own now. You know, I don't know if anybody suffers from this affliction. But if you do, you will know there's a lot of sacrifices you have to make, you know, especially if you're a young parent like I was, you know. You've got to lose a lot of stuff. And for me, the first thing to go was rap as a lifestyle. You know, I had to lose that. And, you know, yeah, I resent my kids for that, of course, right? But I still rap around the house. You know, because it's cool for me. It's a good way to alleviate stress and tension, and it's a great alternative to physical violence. You know, it's a stressful house, right? So like last Friday, right, before I went back on the road again, I rapped a little lullaby to my youngest, right? It was straight from the heart. I was like, listen, you know, daddy's going away again tomorrow, right, but doesn't matter how long daddy is gone for, it doesn't mean he loves you any less. You know that, right? So do me this one favor, okay? Rest your head and snuggle up tight. It's nearly time to hit the lights. And don't forget, it's Friday, right? So don't come into mum and daddy's room tonight. We've got important work to do from quarter past to quarter two. And daddy really wants to get the job done because we haven't finished our work this month, not once. It's what we never ever get time for. And oh yeah, stay out of our bedside drawer. There's nothing in there for you, believe me. And mummy's little white things with the strings, they're not sweeties. Remember that rubber balloon you blew up and drew the funny face onto? Yeah, no, you did it superbly. But do you really have to bring it to nursery? I prefer if you didn't do that. Oh, and that flannel by our bed, never use that. See, mummy and daddy, we have a date. So I'm gonna tuck you in with some gaffer tape. That should help you with keeping still. But no, these aren't mints, they're my sleeping Oh, how did daddy forget that? Here you go, sweetheart, have a tic-tac. Good night.
Enjoyed that. So, we're going to crack on. So let's have another musical genre. Maybe, actually no, let's have a musical genre. Any suggestion at all? Any musical genres? There was death metal or reggae. I think, bearing in mind the instruments they've got, we'll go with reggae. It will obviously end in exactly the same way as any other of the introductions so far, but please welcome the marvellous Mr. Nick Helm!
The finest in the realm. It's Nick Helm. It's Nick Helm on BBC Radio 2.
Good evening, children in need. It's children in need. Go for it. This is your one chance to be on radio. It's children in need. We're doing good, guys, yeah. We're doing good, yeah, it's children in need. It's good. I had a good childhood when I was growing up. My dad used to take us camping in the Foggy Mountains, so I've got nothing really to complain about, you know. We used to go out by the campfire, me and my family. We had a big family as well. And we used to just, you know, all you could see above you were like the starlights and the clouds, and it was, you know, it was beautiful, you know, really serene, idyllic, you know, it was great. We used to stay up all night and we used to roast marshmallows and tell stories around the campfire. It was one night when we were doing that and we heard a rustling in the bushes. But we all thought, no, it's probably nothing. You know, we're outside, isn't it? We're outside. There's always going to be rustling in the bushes. You know, so just ignore it, innit? Just ignore it. And then a little bit later on, we heard another rustling in the bushes, and we thought, oh, it's nothing, isn't it? It's always going to be rustling in the bushes. And then, always. I don't know. Something about them marshmallows roasting, though. Smell travelled for miles. And a big old grizzly bear came out and it attacked my family and took my dad's head clean off. It shredded my mum to pieces. I felt bad. I had honey in my pockets. I should have known. All of my brothers and sisters, he just swallowed them down in one go. He came right up to me, that big grizzly, till we were nose to nose. His breath was thick with the meat of my mum. I didn't know what else to do. So I took my hand and I reached out and I gouged out his eye. And he ran off. And I was allowed to live another day. And I always vowed, if I ever came close to that grizzly again, I'd rip out his other eye. Tear out his still beating heart with my gold hands and throw it in the canal. So excuse me if I don't join in your fun tonight. But I find your mascot offensive! So I don't want to be here. You don't want to be here. Let's make the best out of a bad situation. Let's do some jokes. Do you like jokes? Do you like jokes? Do you... Stop! You're not even looking at me, mate! Do you like jokes? You're in luck, mate. I've got four of them. Let's do this for the kids. What you call an alcoholic wizard? Well, it's easy. Merlot. You're welcome. What did the shepherd's wife say to the shepherd? You heard. It works on two levels. What do you call a chalk ice with a moustache? Magnum P.I. Oh! It's radio, innit? I had a dream, and the dream was a song, and it was the best song I'd ever heard in my entire life. So I woke up in the morning, I wrote it down. I went around and I asked everyone, have you ever heard this song before? And they said, yeah, of course we have. It's Yesterday by Paul McCartney. So I've written an entirely different song. Watch me for the changes, guys. I'll miss you again, like I did yesterday. And the day before that, going back quite a long way. Hey, can't get over this feeling. Are you gonna do anything? Can't get over this feeling of pain and of doubt. But I love that you love me, and I just can't live without your love. If I had a time, I'd go back and leave you first. Wouldn't take back a single thing. I'd just make your bubble burst. Even though I still loved you, I would make you feel the worst. Every morning you'd wake up and you'd think that you'd be crazy. Bitch. You look like my ex-girlfriend. Has anyone ever told you that? She's married now with a baby. What an idiot who marries a baby. You couple. What's your name? D. D, like the letter? It's 25 more where you came from.
For the next act, he used to have long hair, now got short hair, and also he used to be like a child, now he's a man. So he's changed a bit, but he's also a very funny comedian. So please welcome the fantastic Mr. Jason Cook!
Jason Cook.
That's a bit much, isn't it? We've been working on something. This is a bit unusual, but should we do this, boys? Should we try this?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Not bad, eh?
You don't usually get stand-up with jazz behind it. It's a good thing, isn't it? We're now sort of... You can click your fingers. I don't mind. You can join in. We've done this fast as well, because I speak very fast. Sometimes I'm a Geordie person. We go faster and faster as we get on. We get too excited. I came a cropper once. I did a gig once, and there was a French man in the front row. I'd never had a French person in the audience before. I was going as quick as I could. I'd done about 10 minutes, and then I found out he was French. I said, "Can you understand everything I'm saying?" He said,
"No."
I kept going through the set. I did about half an hour, but I'd forgotten he was there. Eventually, I got faster and faster and faster and faster, totally forgetting the guy was there. By the end of my set, I realised it was. As I was wrapping up, I said to the French guy, "Oh, my God, I forgot you were there. Could you follow anything I said?"
"No."
And then he gave me the weirdest heckle I've ever had. I said, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry you didn't enjoy the show." And he said, "You have funny arms." What I want to talk to you tonight is about fear. That's what my set's going to be about. We live in scary times, ladies and gentlemen. Would you not agree? Everything we're told is to make us stay in the house and be afraid of what's going on in the outside world. You switch on the television, and the television just scares us. You switch on BBC News, and it just says, "Don't leave the house. Whatever you do, don't leave the house." Why not? Because bird flu infected asylum seekers are coming over to force feed junk food to the children and make some terrible obesity crisis. The kids are going to get so fat they'll sit on the buses. The bus will use more petrol, which we can't pay for. What with the credit crunch? There's holes in the ozone layer. The sea levels are going to rise. Iran's got the bomb. Iraq's got the bomb. He's got the bomb. Look out. We're all going to die. We're all going to die. I want to go outside. You can't go outside. Why not? Because you get stabbed by an urban fox in a hoodie. That's why. But fear, fear is all around us. I toured a show about fear, different people's fears that we have. The number one fear is a fear of spiders. Who's afraid of spiders? Just give me a show of hands. A good amount of people in the theatre. Now, I did this show, and I met a guy. I was touring the show in Leeds, and I said to the audience, "Is anyone afraid of spiders?" And I met the campest man I have ever met in all my life. And I think there's nothing wrong with being a camp man. I am a camp man. I'm a straight guy. Me and the wife are trying for a baby at the minute, but, you know, hospital security. No. But there's nothing wrong with being camp. Camp's a wonderful thing. I can even do jazz hands for you. Thank you very much. But I said to this guy, "Is anyone in the room afraid of spiders?" And this guy went, "Yes, but no." I said, "Well, it's an either-or question, isn't it? You either are afraid of spiders or you're not." And this is what he said and why I love humanity. He said, "Spiders, I don't mind, but Daddy Longlegs can piss off." Thank you so much. Give money to your children in need. You've been a wonderful audience. I'll catch you again sometime. Take care of yourselves. Good night.
There we go. Would you like to pick a historical period with which to introduce the next act? Any period from history at all?
The Regency.
I think the Regency period would be perfect for the next act. So please... put your hands together for Miles Jupp!
Miles Jupp, Miles Jupp, on BBC Radio 2.
Thanks. Thank you, gentlemen. Very, very nice. My name's Miles Jupp. I'm a pretty dangerous bastard. think we all know that. I'm going to literally blow your minds tonight by performing some, you know, nicely structured material in quite a gentle, reasoned manner. I do, but I just sort of travel around sort of constantly miffed, and I'm grumpy about most things, to be perfectly honest. Even trains, for instance. I spend half of my life travelling around on trains. Do you know, there's still a line in this country that is run by National Express. You can travel out to Norfolk for, you know, I don't know, had family there or something. Not sightseeing, obviously, but I mean, if you're going to travel out, God, this is really aggressive, isn't it? But I'm that's what I'm like, you know, just no holds barred. Watch out, kids. You travel out to Norfolk, you're on a train line that is run by National Express. Who in their right mind awards a train franchise to National Express? That is a bus company. Bus companies are not as good at train companies by their very nature. It's a bus company. They're just, you know, you wouldn't get on a space rocket that said First ScotRail on the side of it, would you? It'd be like buying a cat because somebody had written dog on it in a black marker. Do you know what I mean? Everything about trains is... I did Quiet Coach, for instance. That was once an excellent idea, the Quiet Coach. But it's an idea that doesn't go far enough, does it? Quiet, because quiet is an adjective. It means different things to different people. Some people fight wars for a living. Other people teach elective mutes. Quiet means different things to different... It shouldn't be called the Quiet Coach, should it? It should be called the Silent Coach. A completely and utterly, totally silent coach. That's all it should be called. No one would have any trouble interpreting the rules of the silent coach. It is the silent coach. It's the silent... You're not allowed to talk. You're not allowed to use your laptops. Children aren't allowed to travel in there. People aren't allowed to eat crisps. And they, the train people, they wouldn't be allowed to make announcements. Because the sort of people that have the mentality to travel in the completely, totally silent coach, which is the correct mentality, would be the sort of people that check where the train was going before they bloody got on it. Wouldn't need to be constantly reminded every 15 minutes where the journey started or where it might be stopping or everywhere else it might happen to stop off in between or every 45 minutes having the silence shattered by some lunatic with an oversized tongue constantly reminding everybody that there's hot and cold refreshments available in the buffet car. Well, of course, there's hot and cold refreshments available in the buffet car. What do you think I was sitting here imagining was available in the buffet car? An owl sanctuary? In Russia, during the revolution, nearly 100 years ago, their train service was so good that during a revolution, the Russian army was able to travel to all of its battles by train. During a revolution, the army was able to rely on public transport. During a proper... I mean, what would happen if that... You know, in 2012, we suddenly had our own revolution and we had to sort of rely on the public transport for the army. It would be a complete nightmare. So Marston Moor 2012 kicked off unexpectedly, the British army turning up 7 hours late for every conflict. We're sorry we were late. There were some leaves on the line at Stevenage. Yes, we would have been here for the little fight, but there was a passenger action at Crewe. Yeah, we were hoping to be joined by the SAS at some point, but of course they're stuck in a rail replacement bus service as far as Colchester. You know, we would have been here. We'd have won, in fact. Of course, we were held up. There were some planned engineering works. There were some what? There were some planned... Oh, they were planned, were they? They were planned, the engineering works. Oh, that makes it all right if they're planned and... What are they talking about, planned engineering works? What does that even... Of course it's planned, you idiots. What kind of excuse is planned engineering work? It's engineering. Of course it's planned. Engineering has to be planned by its very nature. People go to university to study engineering. I hate to think I've ever been on a train journey that's been delayed as a result of some totally random engineering. Yeah, well, sorry about the delay up ahead, ladies and gentlemen. There appear to be some engineers overhauling the entire point system on a whim. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of my blinding freewheeling set. God bless Pudsey.
Miles Jack, ladies and gentlemen, there we go. Right, we're going to crack on. I think we're going to up the pace of the show. We're going to... I think if you could bring the next act on to some sort of futuristic, high-energy dance set in California. So please... Put your hands together for two episodes of MASH!
Two episodes of MASH. Two episodes of MASH. BBC Radio.
Hello. Hello. You all right?
Yes.
Good. I'm Joseph's Diane.
Hello.
Joseph's Diane. Yes, yes.
Yeah, all right. Diane likes to have it made clear at the start that we're not going out. Otherwise, she won't do the show. So, yeah, and also our sketches don't really have ends. So they're just going to sort of peter off. So if you're sort of wondering where a sketch is going, it's not. So should we do the first one?
Merci.
Could we have some music? This one is quite scary.
Dodgy.
Dodgy. It's terrifying. Brace yourselves.
Have you got it?
Yeah, I've got it. Yeah, I've got it. Yeah. You got the money?
Yeah, I got the money.
Come on. Come on. There you go.
What's this?
It's a sawn off, like you asked for, sawn off shotgun.
No. I wanted the other end. You know, the end with a gun on it.
Ah, oh, that makes more sense. It's probably why I got that so cheap.
Ready? I spy.
Oh, I spy.
Yeah.
I spy. I spy, I spy.
With my little eye.
Oh, yeah.
Something beginning with R.
R. It's an R. R. It's an R. Roof of my mouth.
No.
What? It's R, but it's not roof of my mouth.
No.
R. It's an R, but it's not roof of my mouth. Roof of my mouth. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard. Roof of my rats.
No.
Rifle range. No. Roof of my mouth.
No, you've done that.
Roof of my.
No.
It's not roof. It's not roof of my mouth.
It's not roof of your mouth.
It's an R, but it's not roof of my mouth. What is it then? Rats!
No.
Roof of my mouth.
It's redundancy. It's never a good way to give bad news, is there?
We're gonna do one more, and then we're gonna leave. Oh. I'm gonna come on for this one. Add a bit of drama. Hello. There's people backstage. There's people here. I've just moved in upstairs, and I was wondering if I could borrow a cup of gherkins.
This is a bungalow.
Yeah, I know, I broke into your loft.
Give me the gherkins.
Morgan there. And we're almost there. Please welcome on the mighty, my comedy hero, Mr. Peter Serafinovich!
Peter, 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 Peter Serafinovich. Peter, 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 Peter Serafinovich. On BBC Radio 2.
Good morning. So what do we think about a little bosser here? Nice. So this morning, my false alarm went off. And I didn't know what to do. But then I checked and it hadn't actually gone off. It was a false alarm. At breakfast time, I like to put my shredded wheat through my own shredder just to be on the safe side. I'm opening a burger chain for senior citizens. It's called Old McDonald's. When a baby is born, I think the doctor should sing happy birthday. I went back in time and I killed Super Hitler. That's why you've never heard of him. Seriously, if I could turn back time, I would prevent Cher from recording that song. What about trying, maybe we could try something a little bit faster. Yeah, okay, yeah. If you ever need a cactus in a hurry, just make a cucumber angry. If you ever fancy a bit of Parma ham and you don't have any in the fridge, just peel a big bit of skin off your foot. If you ever run out of mercury for your thermometer, just use a bit of robot sperm. I finally got round to reading that Stephen Hawking book. It's about time. Been listening to the audiobook of Where's Wally? I still haven't heard him. Here's an impression of a Buddhist after watching a terrible film. Well, that's 2 hours of my life I'm gonna get back. So I love films. I was watching Benjamin Button again the other night for the 100th time. Never gets old. They're bringing out a prequel to Transformers. It's called Sofa Beds. Here's a joke about Iron Man. Iron Man also designs casual wear, but that's not his strong suit. Here's a joke about Swiss luxury brand Davidoff. Davidoff. For when you don't have enough time to say David Hasselhoff. Thank you very much. Thank you. While I've got the band here, I'd love to sing a song with them, but I have a very limited range of just one note, so you'll have to bear with me. Guys? Start spreading the news, I'm leaving today. I wanna be a part of it. New York, New York. I wanna wake up in a city that never sleeps and find I'm A number one, king of the hill, top of the heap, A number one. The up to you, New York, New York.
give it up one more time for all the acts you've seen tonight. Big round of applause. The fabulous house band, the Horn Section. And yourself. Thank you so much for supporting Children in Need. Good night.
The BBC Radio 2 Children in Need Comedy Spectacular was hosted by Alex Horn and the Horn Section. It also starred Peter Serafinowicz, Miles Jupp, Gareth Richards, Angela Barnes, Doc Brown, Nick Helm, and two episodes of MASH.